Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Would you stand with us? We're going to read the Word of God. We're going to finish this series we started on. Your history reveals your destiny. And I believe God's going to speak to all of us today about how God can use us in spite of our situation we find ourselves in. Ruth chapter 4, verses 9 through 17. The responding verses you'll find on the screen behind you. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that is Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Malon's from the hand of Naomi. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. May you prosper in Ephrath and that famine and be famous in Bethlehem." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Verse 17 together. Also the neighbor woman gave him the name, saying, "This is a son born to Naomi and Obed. This is the father of Jesse and the father of David." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're going to wrap this up today as best we can. But Lord, without any haste to go through all of this, there's much for us to learn about the fact of destiny. And no matter where we are starting on our road to fulfilling the destiny you have for us, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak to us in immeasurable ways, that we would just be touched not only by the truth of your word, but Lord, also we'd have a restoration of hope, of knowing that you are there for us in the most difficult situations. Holy Spirit, be the director of my words today, and I'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in case you're one of those people who don't listen too much to the news, maybe I'll bring you up to date on a couple of things. There's one particular pharmaceutical company, I guess it's Mylar, I believe it was, and there was a public outcry over them over the whole thing called the EpiPen. Anybody hear about that? They kind of doubled, tripled, quadrupled the price of this particular thing. And all because of the idea that they could, well, I shouldn't be too judgmental, but it seemed like money was kind of the motivation. I'll leave it at that. But Mylan, feeling the pressure from so many places, saw the need to create some sort of redemptive measure to save face and perhaps the future of their company in the public's eyes. So the conclusion of our story of Ruth talks about redemption. Talks about not for the sake of what you would think about, but it can cause us to gain a greater understanding of redemption in the terms of what God is really after. I don't think they were trying to be so redemptive as they were trying to save face, but we're going to talk today about redemption. Here's three things I want to tell you real quickly. First of all, can you think of a time in your life when someone you never expected came to your rescue and redeemed you out of a situation that you were powerless to resolve on your own? Anybody want to vote with me? Somebody helped you out when you couldn't help yourself? And if they hadn't helped you out, I don't know where you'd be today. It's called redemption. They didn't have to do it, but they did. Number two, go to this. Have you ever offered to pay for something for someone because you knew in your heart it was the right thing to do? Now, if you haven't done that, can I suggest try doing it? And not for the reason of saying, feeling like you're a good guy or a good gal, but from the idea of realizing that's the same thing that God has already done for you through Jesus. And somehow you can experience in your own life that God's heart and toward the people who need to have something done for them that they cannot do for themselves. And thirdly, can you accept the assignment of the Spirit of Jesus to be his agent of hope, love, and loyalty to a lost and dying world? You say, well, that's a big, big, big assignment. But we're going to talk about that in the next few minutes. Well, God's favor will bring us to places far beyond what we deserve. We're going to Ephesians to find some information here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What about once darkness? Does that offend you when I say you were once not that good? Can I use the word marginal? That's not even good enough. That's not even bad enough. You're a case, and so was I. But Jesus' favor and goodness toward us should be responded to with loyalty and surrender to his will. Can anybody believe that's true? And I'm going to show you how to do that, because we must, if we're not a part of darkness, we oppose darkness, but at the same time, we realize, we understand that we were once a part of that. Don't become too arrogant. Don't become too proud. Don't become looking down your nose at different folks, because that was once your identity. But somebody redeemed you. His name is Jesus, and you're no longer a part of the darkness. The Bible says you're a light of the world, a city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hid. And it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Folks, all you have to do is shine. That ain't bad. Well, we must embrace the light of truth of his word. But secondly, we must never lose the spirit of gratitude for Jesus' favor in our lives. You know, it's interesting for some people who, and by the way, when you tell me, I found Jesus, he wasn't lost, okay? I found Jesus and my life is so much better. I was just looking, no. He found you. And while we were yet sinners, he was looking for someone like you. So let's get this story straight. But the deal is this. We do not grovel or revel in darkness, but we must give thanks daily for the light of truth. Somebody say amen. Amen. And what do you say about every day? Jesus knows I'm thankful. Really? You haven't said it lately. Because some of us get this place where we kind of feel like, I was really born saved. I just didn't know it. Really? We knew you wasn't. We must appreciate the favor of the Lord and his willingness to share his goodness with others. And also, Jesus' generosity and compassion should be met with loyalty and devotion. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. I'm going to go back a little bit into the story of Ruth and just pick up a couple of verses there. Ruth was quick to share the favor she had received with Naomi. Ruth chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. This is something I want to revisit for a reason. Then she took up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law of whom it was that she had worked, and she said, the man's name whom I worked for, for work today is Boaz. In verse 20, it says, then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Have you ever done something for someone not wanting to be noticed, that you'd rather stay in the background? I want to help us with that because it's a very important factor that we're going to understand in the story of Ruth. Well, when we talk about the idea of God working things, I want to give you just real quickly some things that Ruth did that was right. The first thing she did, she was thinking of someone other than herself. Is that you? Or is it you have the eternal selfies? Every picture you take, you got to be in it. You know, it's so interesting to me, and this is, and please do not feel bad if you've taken a selfie. God can forgive you. There's forgiveness. He can wash you and cleanse you, make you whole. I think two reasons why I've never taken a selfie. Really, I don't have time. The other thing is I probably would do it wrong. Because I think do you aim the camera at yourself, or is it you take a picture of what you think you're getting? Is that how it works? Come on, you folks, help me with this. You geekos. Anyway, somehow you get in the picture. But deal is this, but you better think of somebody other than yourself. Number two, got to go through this. She embraced a spirit of generosity. And I want to help you with that spirit of generosity. You don't have to be rich to be generous. See, sometimes before we can be generous, we say, oh, no, I can't give that away to them. Because if we start doing the calculations and all of a sudden, we just start, balance sheets. If I give that to them, I won't be able to do this. And if I buy her a Starbucks, I won't have one on Tuesday. And all this. I think, really? We're really quick on figuring out what we're going to lose if we happen to be generous. That's not generosity. Because remember, Ruth had gone over and they'd given her all this stuff. And she had more than she could do. She comes home, she brings all this stuff. She says, girl, where you been today? Well, you brought home some good stuff. Got to tell you a story real quickly. We were downtown Portland, and any of you been to Huber's restaurant downtown? It's the oldest restaurant in Portland. We went down there for dinner, and we had something, good. I had a coupon. Okay, I'm cheap. I took my wife out with a coupon. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Double for your trouble, right? Okay. So I don't know which dinner we paid for. We paid for one of them with that. But anyway, we're leaving there, and there were some people on the street and this type of thing. And so without any prompting, we came back to our car, and my wife had a little, to-go box. She only ate half of her sandwich. It was very, very nice sandwich, this type of thing. And without any prompting, she looks at one of these street people. She says, would you like something to eat? The guy looks at him and says, what? She said, well, I had the sandwiches and I couldn't eat all of it. But like, he says, really? You give that to me? He looks at him, whoa! And the coleslaw was in there too. Oh, whoa, it was cool. He says, one thing he said, ma'am, I'll eat anything. Do you realize that all you have to do is be kind to folks? It doesn't take a whole lot to be kind. Now you can judge about, they had tattoos on, he hadn't bathed in days, and oh, let it alone, girl. Give him a sandwich, okay? Just trying to help you. Okay, we're moving on. Number three, she modeled the culture that Boaz exposed to her. Boaz kind of started the whole thing because he's generous to all the people that are working for him. He's not one of these hard level bosses who goes around cracking the whip. He's just really nice to people. He's greeting them, they're greeting him back. So she's modeling what's modeled in front of her. Number four, she did for the right reason. Can I question my reasoning sometimes? And I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I do things because I want to feel good. I know you're saved and sanctified. Filled with the Holy Spirit, mighty burning fire in Jesus' name. Well, there's some days I'm saved. Sanctification is across the street. You need to come on my side. But sometimes I do things just because I want to feel better about me because I'm not feeling that great. Now, that's my confession, and judge me if you want to. But the deal is this, God wants to bring us to a place that we do things not thinking about how it's going to affect us. We do it because it's because Jesus is working in us. I want to encourage you to release the power of Jesus through you to other people. Moving on quickly, Number five, she was obedient and willing to take instructions. And for some of us, we won't get very far unless we're willing to do what the Lord tells us to do. Moving on, number six. She was willing to risk the possibility of rejection. I want to tell you the reason why we don't witness. It's not because we don't know that Jesus saves. It's we don't know how to handle rejection. What if they think, they'll tell me I'm crazy? What if they tell me that the Bible's a fake? What if they tell me all these different things? I don't know what I'll do. I don't know how I'll handle it. So I've got the solution. I'm not going to tell them. Really? They can burn in hell forever and ever because yours is so fragile. Are you kidding me? Do you really believe that hell is real? Do you really believe that there's judgment after this is all over with? Or are you so concerned about you that you're not willing to tell people about what you know about the person who saved your life? Well, I can't park on any of these for a long time. I know you're glad. Number seven, she made no demands. That's pretty self-explanatory. But here's number eight. She stayed humble. Humility is one of those things that once you realize you have it, you lose it. Oh God, I'm so glad I'm so humble. There it goes. It has hit the exit. I just feel so humbled and proud today. They don't fit together. They're opposing one another, humble and proud. No! Number nine, she kept her motives pure. But the last one I want to leave with you in this section is she received a blessing that would carry her beyond today's harvest to a place of just resting in a provision that would sustain her and others throughout the years. Let me ask you a question. Are you living just for today? Or do you have a focus beyond today? God wants to take you beyond today. Here's what's powerful. So Boaz was a man of action and commitment. And so he was a man of privilege who did not avoid responsibility. And if you go back to the story of Ruth, you say, well, who is this Boaz guy? How does he fit into the picture? Well, he doesn't really have to, but there's something that is guiding him, motivating him. And he says, got to redeem a situation that looks pretty bad. So it meant more to him than negotiating a land grab for a good deal. And to act as a kinsman redeemer involved compassion that would include one known as a foreigner. You don't have to vote on this one, but let me just present it to you this way. I believe all of us have been in a situation where we felt that we were the odd person out. We didn't fit. And you know what even complicated it more? Some people told us we didn't fit. And some of you are living under the pain of that, and it marks you in such a way. It could have been because of an impoverished situation. It could be because of a reputation. It could be because of your parents. It could be your ethnicity. It could be a number of different things. But you're in that situation where you didn't fit. And sometimes that will hold us back from being who God wants us to be because we feel like the label that's been given to us is our final label. But God doesn't see it that way. He doesn't. Well, the nearest kinsman failed to, because he was occupied by his own interests of providing for himself, preserving what he had. Just real quickly, well, the person that could have redeemed the land, as it were, before Boaz did, the reason why he didn't, he says, oh no, that's going to mess up my program. Have you ever missed out on something really good because you're kind of looking, oh, no, that's not me. I don't want to do that. You know, I got this other plan. And you think your plan is better than God's? Really? Ever found out later that you missed a good deal? Don't raise your hand. You're sitting here, why did he bring that up? Because that's where we live. We sometimes assess situations based upon what we think we know, but you know something? God knows more than you do. Well, let me get to this last part. Grace and unmerited favor await those who are willing to do things God's way. Back into chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and the elder says, we're witnesses, the Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, two who built the house of Israel and Ephrath, and the famous one in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah, because they are offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. Here's a prophetic word. And for those of you who don't understand what I mean by a prophetic word, is the people pronounce a blessing over Boaz because of his willingness to redeem a situation that was going to go very, very bad. Let me open this up a little for you. The world will give us blessing and favor that will defy our understanding and comprehensions. This is how it works. First of all, Ruth's willingness to forsake everything that she knew before from an obedient heart reaped the blessing of acceptance and favor in the house of Israel. Can I go back to the first part of the story real quickly for those of you who don't know the story? Ruth is a foreigner. Ruth is from a land of pagans, of idol worshipers, of people who do not know the God of Israel. And the story is this, that she marries a guy who knows the story of Israel, but that doesn't give her any extra points. But then there comes a time where she gets to make a choice for her, and we get a lot of stuff out of this. She decides she wants to go live with her mother-in-law. Her husband's dead. Why would you want to hang out with your mother-in-law of your husband who is dead? It doesn't make any sense. This is a very illogical story. Usually ladies don't want to see their mother-in-law ever again. The girl, she's not thinking clearly. But I want to tell you, if you're going to think on the practicality of what's better for you, there's someone who will tell you that even though this doesn't look like a good deal, if you respond from your heart level, she says, I have seen something in Naomi's life I haven't seen anyone else's life. Even though she's been through a hard time, she's still committed to the household of Israel. And a person like that who's been through those hard times, I want to follow them. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. If you respond to it the best way you can correctly, you will guide other people from their tragedy into triumph. And that's the reason why she said, entreat me not to leave you or to stop following you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God will be my God. And where you die, I want to be buried. Only death can separate us. I remember they sang this song. It was, whether thou goest, I will go. Remember, you guys ever have that song sung at a wedding? It's nice and soupy. My people shall be my people, my love. Whether thou goest, I will go. I'm thinking, okay, cool. But the real story behind it, you see, in context, this woman is making such a huge, huge promise. But it's based on an amazing relationship. I want to take you to this part that I think it'll really cascade to you. The entire story of Ruth is laced with prayers of blessings. And we're going to walk through at least three of them. Ruth chapter 1, verse 8 says this. This is Naomi's prayer. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. You say, well, where's the blessing in that? It's right in front of your face. May the Lord deal kindly with you. That's a blessing. Do you know you can bless people without going, without pulling out anointing oil? You can bless people by saying, you know, have a good day. We were walking the same day my wife and I were out on the streets. There's these people, this one lady was on the curb, and she was, you know, she was kind of disheveled and, you know, all the stuff. And my wife looks over and she just smiles at her. She says, how are you doing today? Or have a good day. Little lady says, thank you so much for smiling at me. You can smile at somebody and change their day. That's a blessing. We miss out on some of the greatest things that we can do for folks. Let me go to the next one real quickly. Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. This is great. Is that, did I miss? Let's see, I got one verse 8. Oh, and the next one is Ruth chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verses 4, 10, and 12. 10 and, okay. Number 4 says, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to his reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Wow. That's pretty cool. Verse 12. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. That sound like a blessing to you? Yeah. Sounds like a blessing to me. Go on to verse 20. We're on a roll here. Here we go. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. She said, blessed be Boaz, who hasn't forgotten about us. Can I ask you a question? How many people have you kicked to the curb because they don't serve your purpose anymore? There's some people you've written off, or you use them up, you're just kind of pushing them off to the side. God said, you better look out. That's not a good way to handle your life. Let's go on to another blessing situation. Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. Wow. That's amazing. Boaz blesses Ruth for her pureness of heart and not seeking after worldly desire, but rather that which would bring for a spiritual heritage. Well, when we pursue God for the right reason, he will grant us favor beyond our expectations. Let's look at that real quickly. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Do you realize the impact of that particular blessing? Let me go through this for you real quickly. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask, Jesus, will you do this or think? I'd love to get inside your head someday and find out what you really think. You know, I'm not going to ask what I'm really thinking right now, because I know God probably wouldn't give it to me. God knows what you're thinking right now. He said, oh, how to say, oh God, give me a Honda. In your mind, you're thinking, but I'd like a Lexus. Why don't you, this is not the get rich thing, but would you stop thinking you're playing a con game on God? God, I'll be happy with a Honda. But you got a Lexus on your mind. All I got to say, can you do the maintenance on one? That's all I need to know. But really, he's able to do abundantly beyond what you ask or think, according to the power. Now, here's the part that works in us. God will temper the things in your life that need to be tempered, so you don't get kind of just out there, as it were. So it's pretty amazing. Well, Ruth had no idea that all that she had done was merely to pave the way for her to be grafted into the bloodline of Jesus. I got to get to that place because my time's running out on me. Ruth chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is great. And all the people that were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem." How in the world is this foreign woman going to prosper in the house of Israel with her past, as everybody knows it? She's a Moabite. I want to have a heart-to-heart conversation for those of you who have eliminated yourself from being blessed because of your past, or because of people that are associated with your past, or because of your parents, or because I was an only child, or I was a child that wasn't expected, or I was a child of single parenthood, or et cetera. We can give all kinds of reasons why God can't bless us. I want to let you know God is not keeping score like you are. You are here right now, and God is not surprised you got here. Now, your parents might have been surprised, but he ain't surprised. "This is our surprise, child." No, he ain't. Amen. Amen. You know, as far as I'm sure, I didn't study biology, but I know when the connection is made, something can happen. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to give you a little lecture on that, but I'll let you know. He says, "Oh, we just weren't expecting." I said, "Will you stop that nonsense? We just weren't expecting. Oh, we just don't know how it, you don't know how it happened? What is wrong with you?" Well, let me move on. I'm sorry. "Every blessing that is afforded to the house of Israel by birth was released and bestowed on this foreign woman." They said, what they're doing is like, they're giving it all to Ruth. "May you be blessed like Rachel and Leah." How do you give that away? I want to tell you, your blessing is it commensurate and in conjunction with your attitude. Some of you can't be blessed because you won't let God bless you because you're too crazy or lazy or mean. Do I need to get some more? Yours is in there somewhere. Or could it be this? You just don't believe it can happen to you. Here we go. Boaz was willing to do things the right way and honorable in the sight of the Lord and the nation of Israel, so he is willing to wait on things to be done properly. And you'll note here that it's kind of those byproducts there, but in verse 13 he says, "So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife, and when he went in to her, the Lord gave her a conception and she bore a son." Can I give you just a little plug or what is advertisement toward sexual purity? I'll be talking more about it later in another series I'm going to do. But nowadays in our culture, that's just off the table. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's engaged. They got 2-3 kids and they're engaged. "We're going to get married in 2020. When he finishes college, and when we get ourselves established, we gonna get married then. But we engaged." Really? Here's Boaz, who can have anybody he wants. He's owning everything in there. But he waits on Ruth. He says, and after things are sealed, and after he marries a girl, then he comes into it. It's not the fact, and believe me, I'm not trying to get down on anybody who has not maintained sexual purity, but I want to tell you, there's some advantages. Don't throw it all away. But then there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ too. So you find yourself somewhere in the middle of that, but God is going to do some amazing things. Well, anyway, so she conceives and she has a child, and they named the child Obed. Obed ironically means servant. Why do you think that happened? Some of the things you're modeling right now will affect those who come from your household. Well, we're almost there. The last little part I want to spend with you is the lessons to learn from Ruth. There's much to be learned when life goes differently than we thought it would. Can I just pause for a moment for those of you sitting in this room today that would say, you know, Pastor, my life is a lot different than I thought it was going to be. If you'll allow me to mention some of these things, you don't have to wincer, just feel uncomfortable. But some of you have gone through life and you never, ever dreamed that you'd go through a divorce. You never, ever dreamed you'd go through some sort of sickness that you're going through. You never dreamed that there'd be a rift between you and a relative or a friend or this type of thing. And so your life is different than you thought it was going to be. And here's what the devil will tell you. Your life's over. God's put you on the disposed pile. He's not really interested in you. He's just looking for those people that are able to walk it. I'm really sorry, but it just didn't work out. Well, God bless you. Hope you make it. How about this? Our attitude need not be affected by circumstances beyond our control. I can't wait to get to our next series of messages because it's going to talk to us about this idea or this concept of the fact there are some things that happen in our life that were choices that we had nothing to do with. Can I just give you a little preview? Nobody in this room had the option of choosing the parents you got. He said, my parents were great. Another person says, I don't know how I got in this family. You didn't get to choose. You didn't get to choose the color of your hair. You can if you go to the shop. But what you came with, that's what you got. How tall are you going to be? I wish I could be taller. Get some heels, baby. Because she's a little short. I love my wife. She's 5'3 and a half. I'm 6'5. I love her. That's my baby. She could have been 5'1. I still would have had her. You know what I'm saying? Her height did not make the decision as to whether I want her in my life. So stop predicting based upon what you think what's going to happen to you. Some of the things you thought are going to be deficits, God's going to turn around to pluses. You need to believe that God knew what he was doing. Now, let me just take it a little bit further. For those of you, unfortunately, you suffered some really hard things in your life. I'm going to mention a few things, and if you need to plug your ears or just kind of hold it together. But some of you went through life, and you were emotionally, physically, sexually abused. You didn't get to choose. But I want to let you know, God has not forgotten about you. And the world may see you as damaged goods, but God sees you totally different than the things that you have experienced. I'm going to go there, brace yourself. The race card. Jesus. You didn't choose your race. You know, I'm so tempted to pull up that, you know, that ancestry where they do all the DNA scene and find out what you've been. I'm a mutt. Italian last name. Grandpa was a full-blooded Indian. Some lady came off the boat and married him. We talking about boat from Africa. I ain't talking about the, you know, cruise ship. I'm talking. Let me help you with this. Just relax. I'm going to tell a story here. And this is what we came up with. As long as this is working, I don't really care. But some of you are just so... No, it wouldn't. that you still have done the stupid thing as you've already done. Just either be a black one or a white one, but you do the same one. Don't you feel better now? Oh, good. Let me finish this story because I may lose some of you. Our devotion to God and his plan will be tested, our willingness to trust him, when we don't understand why. I want to help you with this because we've got to wrap this thing up. The question why is one of the things that will get you locked up. Why this or why that? Why does this happen to me? Decisions that we make out of what we think makes sense will often take us away from God's will. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, here's the last little pieces I have for you. We must be willing to live our lives under God's appointed authority. Which means this. Proper relationship to the authority that God's placed in your life is a prime characteristic of godly people. I've said this before, and God had to correct me and slap me around the room. And you know, I really didn't like it, because I said a couple of things a few weeks ago about, you know, the presidential candidates. And God says, you're going to honor those folks, even if you don't think you don't like them. What? I said, and this is what the Lord told me. Maybe you don't like it this way. God speaks to me this way. If Mr. Trump becomes president, it will be Mr. President and not the Donald. Ay, 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 ay. I was mad. And if Hillary happens to make it up there, you cannot call her a lying wonder. It'll be Madam President. That hurt me. Because I want to feel better. About who? Me, I guess. I don't know. Let me move on, because worship, if you make your way up here, that'll close me down a little bit. Come on up here. Faithful obedience is a key to character. Faithful obedience. That's number two. Number three, the right response to authority is a loving obedience to God's command. Number four, do not make commitments too hastily. I believe when Ruth made her decision that she was going to stay with Naomi, it wasn't the fact that, yeah, this seems like a good deal. This would be a great ride. Ooh, yeah, fine. I'll go with Naomi down to a place I've never been before. I didn't like it here in Moab anyway, so I'll go with Ruth. No, it wasn't. How about number five? Wait on the guidance of the Spirit and allow peace of the Lord to guide you. Number six, practice loyalty and understand that loyal people prioritize relationships over personal advantage and comfort. I want to put something in your life that will help you. It's called loyalty. Loyalty transcends the fact that people may sometimes act imperfectly, but your loyalty is to the God that allows them to have that position. We're just about done. A couple more. Learn servanthood and believe that God will honor those who serve with a servant's heart. This is another one that I found in the Bible. It says, practice hospitality to strangers. Do not withhold blessings from those who are unfamiliar to you. And God honors and rewards unselfishness. Here's what I want us to do today as we close this service. I want you to ask the Lord to begin to reflect in your heart the things that need to change about you for you to inherit the blessing that perhaps Ruth was able to walk away with. When Boaz says, you know, I want you in my life. Those of you who know the biblical story or biblical lineage, it goes as far as David being the son of Jesse, and I'm going to give you a story about him in a few weeks. But if you knew David's story, David was the most unlikely person to ever be a king. He would have been passed over. He said, oh, the kids, he just has this fetish with sheep and this type of thing. And he almost missed it according to the eyes of who was being selected, people taller or greater looking. But remember, it was through the lineage of David that Jesus came. But down his line was a lady named Ruth that was in his life. Everyone bow your heads. Everybody. How do I wrap all this up? Would you take some thought today that God has done nothing accidentally in your life? Even though you have an enemy who has come against you in a number of different ways that would try to derail you, sidetrack you, Jesus is here today to restore, to put you in focus of the things you've always wanted to do and wanted to be. The amazing thing about Ruth was the fact that in spite of maybe her flesh at various times, she was willing not only to take instruction, but she never stopped serving. I know some of the things I said a few moments ago maybe were hard to some of you, and forgive me if it offended you. But I will come back to that place of saying to you, but those of you who feel like you're being hampered by choices that you had nothing to do with, I want to remove that weight off of you today and say, you know what? God never left you. Matter of fact, he's here right now. I want to pray, and at the end of my prayer, I really want to invite people today, if they really feel so inclined. I says, you know, Pastor, I just need to spend some time up here with Jesus and resolve some issues that have really bothered me a long time. I've been holding things against parents, against friends, against people I thought were friends. And it's kept me from being the person I believe that God wants me to be. And if I really were to analyze the whole thing, I'd honestly have to say I'm bitter. Because I thought I'd have a better advantage of things. And if you'll just allow me for a moment, maybe I can cross that bridge one more time. Maybe because of the choices that were handed to you that you had no influence on, are the things that are keeping you away from following Jesus. I want to break those things off of you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every man, every woman that's here, and those who have suffered some adverse circumstances, those who found themselves in a place where they say, you know, I'm addicted to something. And the doctors have told me that I have a propensity toward addiction because it kind of runs in the family. And so I can take on some responsibility, but I'm kind of coasting on the idea that it's not my fault, but I want to be free. Can Jesus free me up? And the answer is yes. God's holding nothing against you right now. So Father, in the name of Jesus, would you make people bold today that will say, you know, there's things in my life, and maybe this is the first time you've ever given your heart to Jesus, and today it just makes sense to you saying, you know what? I'm not going to stay out there on myself trying to figure it out. I'm willing to trust a Jesus that came out of the bloodline of a servant woman, of a pagan woman that found the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and left everything, her family, just to be a part of that. And if it could happen to her, it can happen to me.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.